taken under advisement. Our next case for argument this morning is Garcia Marin versus Garland.
Good morning. May I begin?
Mr. Pappas, we'll wait a moment for Mr. Goldman. And there he is. All right, you may begin, Mr. Pappas.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Nicholas Pappas. I'm appearing on behalf of the petitioner appellant, Raul Garcia Marin. Your Honors, there's two issues before the court today. The first is whether the Bureau of Immigration Appeals misapplied the standard of review on this case. And the second is an issue of standing, whether the removal of the respondent appellant has rendered his petition for a review moot.
Actually, that second issue comes first, so perhaps you could take the issues in that appropriate order.
Sure. Your Honors, this court ruled very clearly in the case of Singh versus Holder, 720 F3rd 635, that the removal of a non-citizen does not render a petition for review moot.
But this case is procedurally different because this was a not a removal proceeding. It was a proceeding for withholding and deferral under CAT, under the Convention Against Torture only. It wasn't a full-blown removal proceeding with various forms of relief being sought. Because your client had a removal order issued long ago and re-entered multiple times, and so that old removal order was simply reinstated, subject to his claim for deferral under the torture convention, and there was no stay requested.
Judge, once
the Board of Immigration Appeals ruled.
That's not entirely true. Immediately after, once our petition for review was filed, there was an application for stay of removal filed with the Department of Homeland Security. At that time, we were notified that we would be advised of their ruling when it was made. That application was filed on December 10th, a day after the petition for review was filed. They ruled on it on December 17th, but did not send notice of that ruling to myself for 12 days, only after they had removed the respondent did I receive notice of that ruling. So there are 11 or 12 days after DHS makes that decision that the petitioner could have filed an additional petition for stay with this court. I pointed out this in my response to the appellee's motion to dismiss. I attached a copy of the email dated December 28th to myself. So.
Right, but I guess the point, and I take that point, but the point is there was never a request for a stay in this court with the petition for review.
That's correct, Judge. Our position is that DHS had the ability to stay his removal as well, up to 6 months, and had they ruled in his favor, which they could have, there would be no need for a petition for stay from this court. So,
but there is nothing that precluded such a request with the petition for review. It wasn't made.
The notion being that if it was granted from DHS, it would not be necessary.
But the fact remains that your client was removed in the interim, and all we have before us is the ruling on the torture convention, not the removal order. And so we can no longer grant any relief, such as a remand for reconsideration of the deferral decision, because your client can't get back in by virtue of the original removal order and his criminal history. So even if you win, there's nothing we can do for you.
The only response I would have to that is that when he was initially removed, he had no grounds to challenge that initial removal order, still doesn't. His relief under the convention is based on events that occurred after his first removal, upon his reentry into America. So again, it doesn't, we can't go back and challenge his initial removal based on a risk that was created after that.
I'm not suggesting that you could or ought to have done so. I'm just suggesting that this case is different from Singh procedurally.
Your Honor is correct in that sense. I would submit that that Singh does not make that distinction. This case is different. It's not ruled. I don't think that the holding of Singh cannot be necessarily applied to this case. I think that the language in Singh that an act of controversy with real consequences still exists applies in this case as well. So while they are different, I don't think that they are entirely different. And I think that
relief can we grant?
Your Honors could remand this case to the Bureau and ask the Bureau to find in the respondent's favor.
But that's impossible because he's already been removed. So a deferral is no longer an option. Deferral is a much narrower form of relief than is available for an asylum claim or withholding claim, as you know.
Yes.
In other words, the only available remedy for you, based on your argument under the torture convention, was deferral of removal based on your client's criminal history and reentry history. And that remedy is no longer available because he's been removed. So what's left, except for an academic question about whether the board committed an error in overruling the immigration judge?
Judge, I'll rest on my brief on that issue. I think that was very clear, that there was an abuse of the standard of review. The Bureau judge basically attacked the evidentiary findings of the immigration judge.
All right, thank you. Mr. Goldman.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. Dan Goldman on behalf of the Attorney General Merrick Garland. The government asked this court to dismiss the petition for review as moot for three reasons. First, as was noted, this case is a narrow one. The only issue was the deferral of removal claim, which would have precluded the United States government from removing Mr. Garcia Marin. He has now been removed, so there is no relief. Simply put, there is no relief that this court can grant for the petitioner in this case. Second, this case is a reinstatement case. The only issue is deferral of removal. The underlying removal order is not at issue, and any collateral consequences that might attach, which might create an exception to mootness, all of those collateral consequences, or really any collateral consequences, would attach to the underlying removal order. And so that's not on review in this case. And third, as was noted, Mr. Garcia Marin did not file a stay motion with this court and was lawfully removed. On the third point, Your Honor, I would like to address briefly some of the claims made by counsel. The suggestion that he was waiting for ICE to rule on his stay motion, or that somehow he had to wait on ICE, which is in his response to the government's motion to dismiss, that he was precluded from filing a stay motion before this court. Simply put, that's wrong. This was not an either-or situation. It's not a sequential situation where he has to go to ICE first. It is, in essence, it's a both and. He could have gone to ICE and filed the stay motion with this court. He could have come just to this court. He did neither. I don't have an explanation for that litigation choice, but it was a litigation choice, and that choice had consequences. I do want to address the delay that was raised. The stay was denied, and counsel was not notified promptly. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that counsel was told immediately that the stay was denied by ICE, but as a legal matter, any delay in notifying, whether one day or 11 days, has nothing to do with Mr. Garcia Marin or Mr. Pappas's ability to file a stay motion with this court. That could have happened as soon as he filed the petition for review, and it did not. And the removal order was lawfully executed in this case.
Mr. Goldman, familiar with the Fifth Circuit opinion in Mendoza-Flores on mootness, also familiar with the Ninth Circuit opinion in Kaur, K-A-U-R, on mootness. Are you familiar with any Seventh Circuit precedent similar to those two decisions on mootness?
I'm not, Your Honor. I think where this court has gone in the past is mostly to say where cases are not moot. This, as was noted earlier, is different. This is a relatively narrow subset of cases where you're talking about a reinstatement case. So the initial removal order and any collateral consequences that might attach does not apply because the initial removal order is not on review. It is a CAT only, Convention Against Torture claim only. So the only form of relief that was at issue before the agency and potentially at issue before this court was whether the government could remove Mr. Garcia Marin to Mexico. And then the fact that a stay motion was not filed with this court. I have not found precedent decision in this court. As I said, it's the precedent seems to be in cases that were different procedurally, as was noted earlier. The Singh case is a procedurally different case, but this is a relatively, and probably shouldn't even say relatively, this is a narrow subset of cases that meets those three criterion, and that's why the government is arguing that the case should be dismissed as moot.
Thank you.
All right, hearing no further questions, thank you very much, Mr. Goldman. Mr. Pappas, you have some time in rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Just briefly, it is not our argument that by filing the stay with ICE that we did not have to file with the court. It is our argument that if that was granted, it would not be necessary to file for a similar stay with the court.
All right. Thank you very much. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and that concludes today's calendar of oral arguments. The court is in recess.
Thank you.
Thank you.